I'm Bill Hemmer. This is Hemmer Time. In less than 2 weeks, America will elect a new president. And during this all-consuming campaign, Donald Trump says the media is biased against him. Well, my guest today reports on the media for a living and for 25 years. Howard Kurtz has written and reported for The Washington Post and CNN and now the Fox News Channel. And Howie, welcome to Hemmer Time.
Hey, Bill.
How do you become a media reporter?
Somebody gives you the job, which means you get paid to do what everyone else in America does, which is critique the media, which has become more and more important with every passing year. When I started this, there wasn't much of an internet, so I was more focused on newspapers and television and that sort of thing.
Were there any media critics when you started?
There were a couple. It wasn't an industry. And also, this is before social media when I started doing this in the 90s. Mm-hmm. And so now everybody in America is a media critic and go on Twitter, go on Facebook and pop off. And I think that's really helpful. That it's not just a top-down conversation, but I will also believe that media affects so much of our lives that it really is worth examining, not just in politics, but in everywhere.
And I think you do a terrific job at it, and that's part of the reason why you're working here. So let's start with the basic claim. Trump says the system's rigged. What does he allege about media bias, Howard?
He has been ratcheting up his rhetoric, as you know, Bill, since the beginning of this campaign. He now sees a dishonest and corrupt media. He has called out many, many news organizations by name, many journalists and commentators by name that works for him with his base. In the last couple of months since the conventions, I would have to say Trump has a very solid point in that I have never, in all of my years covering politics or just watching it, seen such a pile-on, so much negativity, so much hostile coverage aimed at one candidate and even some journalists trying to justify the imbalance between the way that Trump is covered and Hillary Clinton.
Give me an example.
Every day, pick up the New York Times, turn on cable TV, you see lots and lots of stories, not just about, you know, is Trump ahead or behind in the polls. You see stories in which there is lots of investigative reporting about the Trump Foundation and his business record and inflammatory things he has said, and has he changed positions on this, that, or the other thing, and does he cheat at golf? I mean, it goes on and on and on. Now, I have to add quickly that some of this is the ammunition that Trump himself provides to the media because he says a lot of inflammatory things. Then he kind of takes it back. Maybe he doesn't. Even negative coverage has worked for him in the past. At the moment, not so much.
Mm. Do you have examples where he's wrong?
Sure. Examples where he's wrong. I mean, right now, Donald Trump says the polls are rigged. I don't think polls can be wrong, but I don't think there's any evidence that they are rigged. Donald Trump says that, that it's not fair to focus on the fact that he went to Gettysburg and gave a policy speech, but began, and I know you covered this on America's Newsroom, by talking about the female accusers, women accusing him of sexual misconduct, and how they are liars, and how he plans to sue them after the election. Now, we can debate whether that deserves more or the same or less coverage than his contract with American voters, but Trump himself often provides the ammunition that the media not terribly well deserves.
It's very interesting, Howard, that you mentioned that, because sometimes as reporters we're looking for the headline, and the headline doesn't always give you the whole story. You know, I think about the debate in Las Vegas after 90 Minutes last week, and everything in the spin room was, Trump says the election's rigged. And that seemed to take on a life of its own, despite the fact that that debate started on really conservative values when it comes to his expression about the Second Amendment or Supreme Court or Roe versus Wade.
Here's the thing. One of the reasons I find Trump so fascinating is that I have covered him on and off since the late 80s in New York when he first wrote The Art of the Deal. Trump knows how to push all the buttons. That's how he was able to get so much coverage during the primaries, giving constant interviews where his Republican rivals were not. He knows when he says the system is rigged or Miss America is fat or I'm going to sue the women or I'm going to attack the Kahn family, the Gold Star family that spoke at the Democratic Convention. He knows that this will drive days of cable coverage, that this will dominate the internet. He does it, I believe, deliberately. Maybe sometimes he just can't help himself. And then what happens is that he then complains about the coverage or says it was taken out of context or he was being sarcastic. So he bears some responsibility here. At the same time, you look at some of these news organizations and even some media critics say, saying, well, Trump is such a different, even dangerous candidate that we have to apply different standards to the way we cover him. And that, to me, is moving beyond what I would call the definition of journalism.
It appears that you could almost do a heat map, Howard, mm-hmm. where you could figure out the number of headlines that were positive or the number of headlines that were negative. That's kind of what I hear you describing when you think about presidential elections and how you have not seen it go against one person as significantly or as dominantly, perhaps, as it has here.
I don't think
is that a fair statement?
That's an absolutely fair statement. I mean, there are ultra-liberal commentators like Glenn Greenwald who say the media are 100% against Donald Trump, and he does not like Donald Trump. I would say the stories about him right now, especially if you throw in the horse race stories, 10-1 negative at the very least. And here's the problem, Bill. There's another candidate running named Hillary Clinton. Yes, she's been on the public stage for 3 decades, so we already knew a lot about her and her past scandals and her time as First Lady and Whitewater and Travelgate and all of that. And yes, the email scandal was covered intermittently, depending on what was in the news. But just in terms of sheer volume, the amount of news, the amount of coverage devoted to Hillary Clinton, who sometimes seems to go out of her way not to make news and let Trump sort of wallow in whatever this controversy he's created, is far, far, far less than the amount of media attention given to Donald Trump, which may be related, Bill, to the fact that when we write about Trump, when we talk about Trump, when we broadcast about Trump, that tends to drive clicks and ratings.
Yeah. How long were you at the Washington Post?
Almost 30 years.
Wow. CNN?
Let's see, about 2 decades. Part-time.
Here at Fox, how many years?
Just past my 3-year anniversary at Media Buzz.
Nice, congratulations.
Sunday's 11 Eastern.
The reason I ask, generally speaking, the media is seen as liberal. I mean, on its face, do you agree with that or not?
I agree with this. I think it is fair to say that most journalists lean to the left, especially on social issues. I mean, you talk about guns, abortion, gay rights, and the like. Based on my experience in newsrooms and my observations about what is written and said and broadcast, I don't think there's much question about it. Then and politically, well, we're certainly seeing in this campaign, I think, much more leaning to the left. But I think most people who go into the business as reporters, not talking about commentators here, try to do a fair job when it comes to politics. Sometimes they're not aware of the biases that they may have. All their friends may think the same way, the people they go to parties with, and that sort of thing.
Wow. Because generally speaking, my feeling is that the underlying attraction for television or for written media has not changed in decades. You know, people are attracted to the profession because of the stories or the causes, or some believe they can exact change, and sometimes you can through journalism. You get the challenge of performing under deadlines. You become an eyewitness to history in many cases. You have the attraction of a television studio, the power that the box gives people. I think out of those 10 options, perhaps you could choose 2 or 3 that fit each person. Do you generally agree with that?
I do, and I think a lot of especially young reporters go into the business to try to change the world, make the world a better place, which tends to maybe take them in a sort of a more reform or liberal direction. Over time, they may modify that. But here's always the test. Like,
tell
we
me.
All have biases. We all have baggage. We all grew up as the subject of certain influences. How well can we separate that when we try to be, in the Fox phrase, fair and balanced and be fair to both sides in a debate, both candidates in an election, with varying degrees of success? Some don't try very hard. Some try very hard. But there is no such thing as perfect objectivity.
Mm. Is that how you explain it to young people?
I try.
Yeah.
I mean, I got lots of opinions on lots of things. But when I'm writing a news story or I'm interviewing someone, I try to be straight down the middle. I know you share that. People don't tune in to hear what I think about everything. Do I analyze based on my experience in the business, my experience covering politics and culture? Yeah, mm-hmm. Sure. But I'll try to be fair.
Yeah. In this election season, I think about Ronald Reagan winning 2 elections and George Bush winning a term after him. And media then was much more centralized, Howard. And
absolutely.
You only had a handful of players.
The gatekeepers.
And yet Reagan won. And well, conservatives would probably argue that things have to be really bad to overcome an alleged stacked media against them. What is your view on that?
I've talked to a lot of Republicans and Republican GOP consultants about this who say, look, it's like complaining about bad weather. We go into elections knowing that there's a tilt against us. And as you say, the Ronald Reagans of the world have managed to overcome that. I mean, the media have a lot of influence, but they don't ultimately decide elections. Ultimately, it is fought out between the candidates. And so I think the people who tend to blame us, and by the way, we get it from the left too. A lot of people, Bernie Sanders voters.
Yeah, what do they say?
Democratic primaries think that we have more influence than we actually do, but we're not without our influence.
When you look at the new landscape and social media, I mean, how do you gauge Facebook and Apple News and how that's changing access or consumption of political news?
I think Facebook and particularly Twitter have absolutely transformed the media business, and it's incredibly healthy that anybody, you don't need a printing press, you don't need a television studio, can go online and for the force of their personality and their writing can attract a bit of an audience and be followed by other people or influence other people. That is great. At the same time, anybody who spent any time on Twitter knows it can also be a toxic stew and that you can get attacked no matter how fair you try to be. In the most personal terms, women particularly get a lot of misogyny online. And so that is sort of the dark side of it. But on balance, we ain't never going back. And I wouldn't want to go back to a time when only three broadcast networks and a handful of major newspapers and magazines essentially controlled the agenda.
Yeah, I wonder about that meeting that Dana Perino and a few others had in California. What was it, 6 months ago with Facebook? I mean, do you see that as a continuing issue as to how you aggregate news and how you work it into an algorithm and what kicks out and what doesn't?
Facebook has become perhaps the most powerful delivery system for news in the country. I mean, every major media organization, including ours, tries to have a major Facebook presence, and whether people click on the stories there or like them or follow the links, it's incredibly powerful. So if Mark Zuckerberg out in California is hiring people who are mostly left-leaning and they decide the trending topics, and they've admitted, Facebook has admitted that it screwed this up, that can put a digital thumbprint on the scale.
Mm. Do you think there's a lesson from this election? You know, every 4 years they seem to have their own personality as it relates to the media and the coverage, be it Trump or Clinton. What's the story right now, do you think?
The one lesson I think that we're missing, and it's easy to say, wow, Trump is covered too harshly, not harshly enough. Some people think that we gave him too much free airtime in the primaries. I would say he earned it, although we also, you know, covered a lot of those live rallies. The lesson that's being missed here is just about everybody in this profession misjudged or outright missed the rise of Donald Trump because they were largely out of touch with the anger and frustration among millions of Americans who Trump appealed to. And we ought to do some soul searching about that, because a guy who was, you know, you remember back in 2015 when all these brilliant people we work with at various places would come on the air or write columns saying, well, you know, Trump's a sideshow. Well, he's going to fade in a couple months. Well, he has no chance of winning the nomination. He won. Mm. And he won not just through the force of his personality and his mastery of the media. He won because he touched a nerve in the country that most journalists underestimated or are unaware of.
Wow, well done. All right, you ready for 22 questions, Howard?
I'll give it a shot.
All right, cue the music, folks. Here we go now. Favorite monument in Washington, D.C.? Go.
Jefferson Memorial, right down there by the water, especially at cherry blossom time.
Nice. What's your guilty pleasure?
Playing tennis. I've taken it up late in life. I'm still learning to serve better, but I love tennis.
Watch the tendonitis. Your favorite thing to do on the weekend?
Let's see. Hang out with my kids, because I work so many hours, especially at election time, that I like to spend some time with
my
voters.
Great answer. Who's your dream guest, Howard?
Well, I usually say Paul McCartney, but I think right now I'm going to say Bob Dylan, because he just won the Nobel Peace Prize and seems to be blowing off the Academy.
I'm with you on that. What's the coolest thing in your house?
Well, if you judge it by demand, I would say it's the iPad, because we're always fighting for it so we can watch Netflix.
Good answer. What's the coolest thing in your office?
I have a caricature of myself, that was made at one of the conventions, and I've got a very long neck and the hair and everything, and it was nice. It's like being portrayed on SNL. It's nice to reach that level that somebody made a cartoon of me.
What's your favorite board game?
I think I'm going to say Monopoly, oldie but goodie.
Bottled water or tap water?
I'm happy with tap water. I think, I buy bottled water, but I think we're all paying too much for that stuff.
Facebook or Twitter?
Twitter. I'm addicted to Twitter.
What's the first website you visit in the morning?
Sometimes it's media eye to see how our profession's doing.
Got it. Do you have a favorite app?
Favorite app? It's got to be Netflix because I've been spending more and more time watching old TV shows on that one.
Washington, D.C. or New York City? Pick one.
I'm from Brooklyn, but Washington is a very easy place to live. New York is a very competitive place to live.
Yeah. Favorite holiday?
Favorite holiday? 4th of July.
Starbucks or Dunkin' Donuts?
I'll pick Dunkin' for the donuts because I guess I can reveal it here. I don't drink coffee. Unusual for a journalist.
You're one of them. What time did you get up this morning?
About 6:45 a.m.
How many?
Check my phone.
How many emails do you get a day?
At least 300, sometimes 400.
Favorite restaurant in Washington, D.C.?
Fung Lin, a Chinese restaurant in Bethesda, Maryland.
Best book you've ever read?
Let's see. Right now I'm reading Doris Kearns Goodwin on Teddy Roosevelt and William Howard Taft and their friendship and rivalry. It is fascinating.
If you were to binge watch a series, name that series.
Definitely House of Cards.
Another series, Cubs or Indians?
I'm going to go with the Cubs because it's been since, 1945 that the Chicago team even won a pennant. Go Cubs.
What's your favorite thing about the Fox News Channel?
The brilliant anchors.
Come on. Now you're sucking up.
The cool music.
Howard Kurtz, host of Media Buzz. Check him out every Sunday on the Fox News Channel. Howard, thank you. Great to be with you.
Same here, Bill.
You bet. Thank you for your time. I'm Bill Hemmer. This is Hemmer Time.